Welcome back to Diverse Voices Book Review on KAZI 88.7 FM. I'm Hopeton Hay. My guest is S.A. Cosby, author of the novel Razorblade Tears. Whether you're in the South, the North, rural, urban, there's the Black barbershop. And we got the Black barbershop scene, but to sort of paint a picture there, so Ike was known as Riot Randolph. Was it Riot Randolph? Mm-hmm. He was in a gang, and he's real hard.
Yes, sir.
He's the real deal.
Yeah.
And then we have the would-be OG, who's really a hip-hop entrepreneur. And then we have the dangerous mm-hmm. character of Slice, who sort of mm-hmm. helps Ike to get the answers that he wants. But you have that discussion in the barbershop, ultimately the ultimate discussion in the barbershop. And like I said, it doesn't matter whether you live in New Orleans or rural Virginia, we all go to the barbershop and we all know what that experience is like. We all know about those insults going back and forth. I've had my mm-hmm. greatest, and I won this debate, by the way, Michael Jordan versus Kobe Bryant. And I won that debate hands down. So I'm sure notice that I'm not talking about LeBron now, but so talk because that'll be a whole nother discussion. But I'm still going with Michael. So, but even though it wasn't a big thing, talk about the barbershop and Slice, because Slice was that interesting, dangerous character from Ike's past.
Yeah, I wanted to include the Black barbershop in one of my books because it is, you know, for a certain generation of African American men, the Black barbershop is a sacred place. It's a sacrosanct. You know, it's the place for a long time where you could go and be a man, and whatever your definition of that meant. The Black barbershop, you know, I'm not going to belabor the point because it was made much better in the movie Barbershop. But, you know, I agree with a lot of what that movie said, that for Black men, the barbershop was a sanctuary. It was a place of refuge. But it is also, I think, a place where you can see the best and the worst aspects of masculinity. And I wanted to have Ike have as we would say, my grandmother would say, I wanted him to have a come to Jesus moment there. You know, I wanted him to really, I wanted to show that he has changed. I wanted to show the progression of his journey. And then of course the barbershop is owned by his former associate Slice, who is a complicated character in his own right. He feels this debt to Ike Riot, Riot when he was Riot Randolph, a triple setup OG, and he did something for Slice. But I also wanted to use that as an example to talk about, there's a sense that when some people, the worst thing that they can be is in debt to another person. And I think Slice felt that way. He didn't want to be in debt to Ike, even though Ike did something that, you know, meant a lot to him, that was important to him. He didn't want to, I'm not trying to give spoilers away, but he didn't want to be in debt to Ike. And so he's a complicated character because on the one hand, he knows, according to the code of the street, he owes Ike. Well, that, you know, this favor that Ike asked him, he owes it to him. But at the same time, because he's a human being, he's a person, he's petty, he has his own feelings, he also takes this opportunity to deal with those feelings in a way that maybe isn't positive. And so all of that swirling around sort of comes to a head in the barbershop. And there's a scene where Ike, everybody goes to the barbershop knows there's a couple archetypes that are in there. You've got the loudmouth, you've got the know-it-all, which is actually two distinct different people. You've got the peacemaker, and you've got the person who's the audience, who I would say is the instigator or the hype man. Those archetypes all exist in the barbershop. And I love all of them because that experience is fun and enjoyable. But Ike sort of blows that archetype up. He sort of blows up the hierarchy because he cuts through, to quote our current president, he cuts through the malarkey and goes to the heart of the issue. And, yeah, you talking all this jazz, you talking all this trash. He says, but, if I came to your house and I slit your son's throat, you wouldn't care if he was gay or not. And that's the heart of the story. For me, that's the point of the book, that you wouldn't care, that you talk all this junk and all this jazz around your boys. But at the end of the day, you're a father or you're a mother, and who your child loves should bear no, have no bearing on your love for them. And so I use the barbershop because it's important to me. It's an important part of my life as a young man. It's just like in my next book, I'm going to be talking about the church more extensively. And I'm going to talk about the Southern Church, Southern Baptist Church specifically, and how, to quote Malcolm X, the most segregated day in America is church on Sunday morning. Those are foundational tenets of the Black experience that are very important to me, that have been, you know, explored, but maybe not as extensively they should, or I just want to put my spin on it.
Before we close, I do want to talk a little bit more about Maya, Ike's wife, and her holding her husband accountable for not accepting the son, in contrast to Buddy Lee's ex-wife, who decided she would just roll with what her her current husband wanted her to roll, and just religiously the character condemning that relationship and basically abandoning her son for her husband's biased, bigoted beliefs.
Yeah, I will say this, and this wasn't the characters of Maya and Chris and Buddy Lee's ex-wife. They are my very, very gentle, small attempt to maybe discuss Black and white feminism in a way. Because when it comes down to the struggle, a lot of times Black women are expected to hold up that bloodstained banner at all times, where sometimes white women are only expected to hold it up when it suits them and when it's convenient to them. And I really, really wanted Maya to be a character that wasn't just long suffering, but someone who was intelligent and smart, and also someone who held Ike accountable, who would not let him off the hook, you know, for what he's done. And so a lot of times in the book, she is the Greek chorus, the voice of conscience. I wouldn't say the voice of reason, but the voice of conscience. But then, even then, she's a mother who's hurt. She's a mother who lost her child. And she makes a very fateful decision later in the book because of that pain, because she cannot let it go. And so I wanted her to be a character in full, but I also wanted her, as you pointed out, to be a contrast to Buddy Lee's ex-wife, who kind of just goes along to get along until maybe it's almost too late. And I kind of, like I said, I'm very gently, because I think that conversation isn't for me to have. I think that's, you know, that conversation is for writers, other writers maybe to do it in a more extensive way. But I did kind of gently want to just broach that subject a little bit about the way feminism look and the way Black women are expected to support the Black community and their men, regardless at all times, no matter what, and how white women sometimes have that flexibility of like leaving a situation. And I did it in a way I hope that was subtle but not preachy. And for me, Maya is a very important character because she's the one, like I said, that holds Ike's feet to the fire, you know, and doesn't let him. You know, I think we all have a tendency to put on rose-colored glasses when we look at our own personal past. You know, we all want to look at the past and see the best version of ourselves. And sometimes you need a Maya in your life that's like, no, you weren't kind at that point. You did make a mistake. And what are you going to do to fix it? And, you know, again, but like I said, at the same time, she's not just that static character. She's also someone who's going through her own pain and her own agony and her own grief. And she's handling it in her way. And I hope that that comes through to the readers.
I just want to come one last time to compliment you on the introspection of Buddy Lee and Ike with regards to how they treated their sons, because that is so organic and so real. It's not preaching. You have to have that conversation with yourself. If you didn't go to the wedding of your sons because you were homophobic and then they die a brutal death, every parent is going to have that thought, is going to regret what they did, is going to regret how they treated their son. And so that's organic and that's real. I think.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted it to be. I wanted, you know, I don't have any children of my own, but I was around my niece growing up, as she grew up, and she's grown up to be a beautiful young lady. She's a mother. She's a Navy vet. And, you know, I can't imagine not being at her wedding. I can't imagine my brother not being there, regardless of whether she was marrying a man or a woman. I cannot conceive of that, because my love for her, and like I said, my brother's love for her, far outstrips any concerns about what who she loves is, you know? And so, but I also know there are parents who don't feel that way, who haven't come to that moment in their lives. And, you know, I feel like if the one thing I hope this book does, outside of everything else, I hope it convinces a parent or a child who doesn't have that relationship with their parents, regardless of whether it's sexuality, whether it's political beliefs, that you take a moment to really consider trying to repair that burned bridge. Because, you know, like, you know, life is quick, man. Like I said in the book, it moves like quicksilver. It slides right through your hands, you know, before you know it. You know, 20 becomes 40, 40, 60. And like I said, before you understand what's going on, you got a lot more yesterdays than tomorrows. And you don't want to reach the end of that journey wishing you had told somebody who means the world to you that they mean the world to them.
S.A. Cosby, Sean Cosby, author of Razor Blade Tears. Great third book. You know, I had to be corrected. I was saying, yeah, Blacktop Waistline was his first novel. And my good friend Scott Montgomery said, no, Hopeton, that was not his first novel.
Oh, it's okay, man. I just glad that people get my name right. That's the thing.
Well, thank you so much for being a guest.
Oh, man. Thank you so much for having me again. I'd love to do it once more in the future. It was a great pleasure and a great honor. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Diverse Voices Book Review. I'm Hopeton Hay.